Okay, we are holding in the very last daf of Perek Mishameis, the second to last Perek of Maseches Vavbasra. Today's daf is Vavbasra daf Kuf Nun Tes. Kuf Nun Tes in Vavbasra. We left off right after the two dots, actually, on Kuf Nun Chesamid Beis, four lines from the bottom of the page, Kuf Nun Chesamid Beis. Right, we just discussed the idea of Avir Deretz Yisrael Machkim. We discussed the idea a little bit, very briefly, of Talmud Chaver, that Ben Azai was a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, and that's why he didn't speak to him in third person. He only spoke to him in second person, because the Talmud Chaver apparently does not have to speak in third person. Now, just one word about Talmud Chaver. Rashbam says that we see it from the fact that he didn't speak in third person. He said Shabasa, he didn't say Shabara Beinu. The Rashi Maseches Erevin says that the Geder of a Talmud Chaver is someone who's a Chacham Kamoso, Ela Shalomer Menu Davar Echro Yoser. People who are really basically equals. They're basically colleagues. This is Rashi and Erevin Samad Gimel Amar Aleph. They're basically on the same level as each other, except one of them taught the other something, and therefore he becomes like a Talmud. Someone who teaches somebody else a bit of Torah becomes that person's Rebbe, even if he's not really considered to be on a much higher level. The Gra, in the Bira Gra, in Yerodea, Resh Mem Beis, is in Sifkat Nyodalev, is Medayik from Rashi, that Dafka, if he learned from him Davar Echad or Yoser, he's considered a Talmud Chaver. But a Talmud cannot become a Chaver to Rabbo Muvhak, meaning Rashi's Medaktik. When Rashi says that you're a Talmud Chaver, he says someone who's basically on equal footing, except he learned something from him. But if he learned a lot from him, he was in his shir, he heard a lot of Torah from him, he learned by him, this was his Rebbe Muvak, he learned Rov Chachmasel from him, then you would never be able to become a Talmud Chaver. Even if the Talmud surpasses the Rebbe, he still wouldn't become a Talmud Chaver. And that's the Nafkamina would be, that which the Gemara in Erevin says, that a Talmud Gamor is Asr Lahoros, Afilu Shalob B'Makom Rabo, that a Talmud Gamor can't be Mora even when the Rebbe's not in the room. Talmud Chaver is Eino Asr Lahoros El B'Makom Rabo. Talmud Chaver is only Asr Lahoros B'Makom Rabo. Okay, that's Sugi and Erevin. We discussed it at the time, what that exactly means, L'maisa, in terms of Paschal Me'alachos, whether we even have it in anymore of a Talmud Gamor nowadays, now that we have Svarim, and most of our learning, in fact, comes from Svarim, and it's not a reliance on a tradition from a Rebbe as much as it used to be. But that's the basic idea of Talmud Chaver. Now, we left off four lines from the bottom of the page, Sholchu Mitam. So it's going to be an interesting Amud of Gemara that's coming up, in the sense that the Gemara is going to quote a halacha that was sent to somebody, and we're going to say, and along with that halacha, was sent a message that this halacha is not understandable. So the whole Amr is going to be trying to find what exactly could the halacha have been that was so not understandable. Meaning the whole entire Amr is going to be looking for something that doesn't make sense. Normally we try to make sense of halachas, we're going to try to find a halacha that we can't make sense of. And if we can make sense of it, then we know it's not the halacha that we're looking for. So that's why it's going to be a little bit of a backwards Amr of Gemara coming up. Says the Gemara, Shalchu Mitam. So the first halacha that we thought that was sent was as follows. Ben Shalava Benichsei Aviv, if a son borrows money in his father's nechasim, b'chayi aviv, while his father's alive, umeis, and then the father dies, b'no motzi miyad alukuchos, then the son can take away from the lukuchos. The son will be able to take away the possessions of the lukuchos of people who purchased it. It's not supposed to make any sense, so don't worry if it doesn't sound like it makes sense. Vizui shakasha b'dini mamunus, and the note came along that this is the difficult halacha in dini mamunus that we can't make any sense of, that we simply are incapable of understanding. This is the kasha b'dini mamunus. So frak the Gemara, wait a second. Lova my mapik. Why would a lova be taking money away from anybody anyway? Right? The lova is the one who borrows the money. Why would he, if the son borrowed money, who's he confiscating possessions from? Says Rashbam, v'chi b'shvil shalava mamun b'chai yavi v'yotzi miyad al-kuchos ma'asha marchal en aviv ahu. What, because he borrowed money b'chai yaviv, so he's going to be able to take away from the l'kuchos that which his father sold to the l'kuchos, or that which he sold to the l'kuchos, whatever it might be talking about. Where does that come from? V'od l'kuchos ma'avidite. Plus, we never even mentioned l'kuchos in the case. We just said a ben shalav aminich seyaviv b'chayaviv umes. Whoever said anything about l'kuchos? So what l'kuchos is he taking away from? The whole thing doesn't seem to fit. It doesn't seem to make sense. So says the Gemara, Eli Itmar, Hachi Itmar. No, this is what we mean to say. Ben shemachar b'nich seyaviv b'chayaviv. What that case really means is as follows. A son sells his father's nechasim while his father's still alive, umes, and then he dies. Meaning then the father dies. The son can take away those possessions from the lekuchos. Vizuish meaning umes means then the son dies. Beno means the grandson. Motzi miyad alekuchos. The grandson can take away those possessions from the lekuchos that his own father, the middle generation, had sold. The grandson is allowed to take from the lekuchos. Vizui shakasha bedinim amanus. And that is the difficult concept to understand, the difficult halacha to understand in dinim amanus. So here's our first possibility of what the case may have been. It's a son sells his father's nechasim and it's Reuven selling Yaakov's nechasim, then Reuven dies, and Chanoch takes away those nechasim from the lekuchos who bought them from Reuven. And we said, this is very difficult to understand why Chanoch should have the right to be able to do that. So frek the Gemara, v'lemulei, avuchamaz bin va'at mapik. The reason it's difficult to understand is, can't the lekuchos say to Chanoch, your father sold these nechasim. Now you're going to take them away? Who do you think, if your father sold them, what gives you the right to take them away? And that's why it's a difficulty, and that's why this is probably the case that they were referring to when they said that this is a kasha b'dinim amanus. Says the Gemara, no, this can't be the case. Umay kushya, what's so difficult about that? Dilma matzi amar mikoach avuad abba kasina. Maybe Chanoch can say, I'm not coming mikoach my father Reuven, I'm coming mikoach my father Yaakov, that I deserve to yarshin from Yaakov, and Reuven had no right. My father Reuven had no right to sell this stuff; it didn't belong to him, and I get it straight from Yaakov, and therefore I do have the right to confiscate it. Teida dechsiv, and the raya to the idea that a grandson can get straight from the grandfather dechsiv tachas avosecha yihi yubanecha tishisem l'sarim b'chala aretz. So you see, tachas avosecha yihi yubanecha, that your children take the place of avosecha; they take your place of your parents. So you see that a grandchild can come in and yashin from the grandparent. So Ella, so that's a problem, right? So now we see that this is the problem, is that it's not a problem. The problem is that this idea that Chanoch can come and be motzi miyad alekuchos makes perfect sense. We're looking for a halacha that doesn't make sense, and that's why it was sent as a kasha b'dinim amanus. So now we have to go back to the drawing board, look for another halacha that doesn't make sense. Eli'i kasha ha'kasha. Rather, if we're going to have a problem, so this is possibility number two as to what the halacha was. If we're going to have a problem, it's going to be the following case. Now, Tosfos points out, v'lo garsim I itmar hachi itmar. We're not gores over here, I itmar hachi itmar, shari kol advarim halalu sholchu mitam. Because it happens to be all of these halachos were actually sent in that letter. U'masha sholchu zuhi shakasha b'dinim amnas le'yadu al'ezah davar sholchu. Meaning he also sent a letter with five different halachos. Along with those five different halachos, there was a note at the bottom, P.S. Zusha Kasha B'dinim Mamanus. So the problem was they didn't know what the P.S. was going on. They didn't know if the phrase Kasha B'dinim Mamanus was going on which of the five halachos the Zusha Kasha B'dinim Mamanus was going on. And that's what the Gemara spends all this time doing, trying to figure out what the Zusha Kasha B'dinim Mamanus is going on. So says the Gemara's second possibility, not that we're reinterpreting the first case that we gave. No, there's no way you're going to fit this in the words of the first case that we gave. We're rather going on to the next halacha that must have been sent in that letter. So Eli'i kasha ha'kasha, this must be the case where we had a difficulty. Ben b'chor shemachar chelik b'chora b'chayi aviv. You have a firstborn son who sells the chelik b'chora in his father's lifetime, umeis b'chayi aviv. And then that firstborn son dies during his father's lifetime. So you have Reuven is the firstborn of Yaakov. Reuven is entitled to a chelek b'chora. He then dies during his father's lifetime, meaning he sold it. He sold that chelek b'chora during his father's lifetime, and then died before his father. He predeceased his father. B'no motzi miyara lekuchos. Then Reuven's son Chanoch can take that chelek b'chora away from the lekuchos. Rashbam explains: Kegon Reuven shemachar chelek b'chora sa'roi lagiyah b'nechsei aviv. Reuven was banking on getting the chelek b'chora, and he sells it, therefore, and then umes Reuven v'acharkach mes Yaakov. Then Reuven dies before Yaakov, and then Yaakov dies. B'chanoch umotzi miyad ha'lekuchos. Chanoch can come and take from the lekuchos. What can he take? Chelek b'choras Reuven aviv. He could take the chelek b'chora of Reuven, his father. V'nota li'atzmo kilu lo machar Reuven. And he could take it for himself as if Reuven never sold it. Shechanoch yoresh chelek b'choras aviv b'nichse zikno. Because Chanoch is yoresh, the b'chora, the chelek b'chora of his father from his grandfather's estate. Aviv b'nichse zikno av afal pisha meis. Even though Reuven the father died during Yaakov's lifetime, just like we learned by the Benos Slavchad, that even though their father died, they still get the chelek b'chora of their father. And this is a very difficult halacha to understand. Back in the Gemara, this is a difficult halacha to understand because Avua Mazbin Iu Mapik. Well, because the father is the one that sold it and he can go and take away what his father sold. So says the Gemara, why is that so difficult? Why can't you say that over here as well? The grandson can say, I'm coming mikoach my grandfather, and therefore I do have the right to go and take the chelek b'chora. So says the Gemara, no, because imikoach avu de'abaka asya b'chelek b'chora mayavidite. Yeah, you want to come and take from your grandfather. If you're taking from your grandfather, you shouldn't get a chelek b'chora. If you're yashining from your father, so then you get a chelek b'chora because your father was a b'chor. The grandson's not a b'chor. If you're coming in place to yashin directly from your grandfather, well then you shouldn't be getting a chelek b'chora. So says the Gemara, umay kushya. Why is that so difficult? Maybe he's able to say, look, I'm yashning for my grandfather as my father. I represent my father to be the one to yashin for my grandfather. That's what I'm coming to do. And as a result, I can get the pishnayim just like my father. I get the chelek b'chora just like my father would have. And therefore, I have the right to take it from the lekuchos who my father didn't have a right to sell it to because it didn't belong to him yet. So why can't that be the explanation of this halacha? So again, if everything is good, then everything is no good. Meaning once we've explained this halacha, then this can't be the halacha that we're looking for. The halacha we're looking for is a halacha that's kasha b'dinim amnis, that does not make sense to us. This halacha makes perfect sense to us now, that the grandson's going to be able to come and take the chelek b'chora away from the kuchos. So again, it's back to the drawing board of trying to figure out what exactly the halacha is that does not make sense. Now it happens to be Tosos on the I'm not going to go back now, but this long Tosos really relates to the first possibility of what the halacha was. But we'll leave it aside for now. So says the Gemara, third possibility. Possibility number three, we're about 12-15 lines down on Kuf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Possibility number three, Eli Ikasha HaKasha. Last word on the line is Kasha. Eli Ikasha HaKasha. So rather, if there's a difficult halacha that was taught and that was sent along with a note that this is a difficult halacha that doesn't make sense, it was the following halacha. HaYodeh Lo Edus Bishtar Ad Shelo Nasa Gazlan. Let's say I signed on a shtar for you before I became a gazlan. I was perfectly kosher at the time that I signed on the shtar. V'nas l'gazlan, and then I became a gazlan. So now, at this point, the people that you have signed on the shtar are going to be totally unacceptable as witnesses. But at the time that they signed, they were acceptable as witnesses. Hu eino meir al ksav yado. So what happens? You have a shtar that you bring to Basin that says two names on the bottom. So you say, look, this shtar says that someone owes me $1,000, and here it's got two names on the bottom. So Basin's going to say, well, how do we know those aren't forged signatures? You need to be mekayim the shtar. How is one mekayim the shtar? So either, typically, the way to be mekayim the shtar is either have the eidim themselves come and be makir ksav yadan and say, yes, that's my signature, and the other eid says, yes, that's my signature. Or you get two other eidim to be made, yes, we know that signature belongs to so-and-so, and we know that signature belongs to so-and-so. And those are the two ways to be mekayim shtar, either by the eidim themselves being mekayim their signatures, or by other eidim coming being mekayim their signatures. Over here, though, the people who signed are right now puzzled. So the guy can't come and say, this is my signature, because we don't believe him anymore. You're a gazlan, why should we believe you this is your signature? But other people could come and say, yes, that's the signature of Reuven. Reuven the Gazlan, the guy who's now a Gazlan, that's his signature, we recognize that. So who ain't made on ksav yad, though? He can't be made on his own ksav yad. Avlacher mi'idin, but other people can be made on his ksav yad. And this is the difficult halacha to understand, because hashti iu lo mehemen, achrini mehemen, he himself isn't going to be believed. We're going to believe other people about him, right? He himself is not believed on his own signature. And now we're going to believe other people about his signature? V'zui shakasha b'dina mamunis. That's the difficult halacha in dina mamunis. That doesn't make any sense. So says the Gemara again, my kushya, what's so difficult about that? Maybe the case is, says Rosh Bam explaining this, maybe the case is that it wasn't directly on the shtar that we're talking about. Maybe the shtar was already mekuyam. That was called a henpik written on the shtar, which is that the shtar was already mekuyam. Bezdin and Bezdin wrote a note authorizing that this shtar was already mekuyam. If you look at Rosh Bam in the fifth wide line, kugon shuhuksak behenpik bebezdin beterem ayos legazlan, they were mekayim the shtar before the aid ever became a gazlan. Tahashalek lememer hachiyele elu meidin shechasmu behenpik ze vikimu ashtar. So now when these aidim are coming and being mekayim, all they're doing is they're coming and they're saying, yes, we signed that henpik, which is mekayim the shtar. They're not going and being meyed on the ksav yado again of the gazlan, of the guy who's currently a gazlan. That, you're right, that wouldn't make sense. If the gazlan himself can't be made on his own signature, they can't come and be made on his signature now. What they're doing is they're being made on their own signatures that appear on a henpeik that was written before the guy became a gazlan. And that makes perfect sense that they should be allowed to do that. Right? At the time that they were mekayim the shtar, the gazlan would have been believed to say zek sav yadi because he was not yet a gazlan. Now you can't ask, if he's not believed on his own signature, how could they be believed in it? No. Because these people are coming to be made on their own ksav yad, not on the ksav yad of the gazlan. And they're just saying that the shtar is mekuyam, and therefore the shtar stands on its own once they're mekayim the henpik. So this is a perfectly understandable halacha, which again is a problem, because we're looking for a halacha that's not understandable. So back to the drawing board again. By the way, Tosfos does not understand that the Gemara the same exact way as the Rosh Bam, that we're talking about a henpik. Tosfos understands, if you look at Tosfos, right, the Rosh Bam said that it's all about a henpeik and they're coming to be made on the henpeik. Ve'ein niru l'ri, says Tosfos, that's incorrect. De'inach dayanam gufayu, milo matzi l'miti ba'hu gavra, igazan hu ilo, she'ein chos min ala al-chasimas ha'edim, va'fil masha b'shtarin shrich ma'dayanam l'kros. The dayanam who write the henpeik could have written the henpeik on a gazlan also. All the dayanim who write the henpeik verify is that the signature belongs to that guy. They don't get into whether he's a gazlan or not. What do they know if he's a gazlan? Elahachi perusho. Huchsu ksav yado bebezin sharo'u bezin ksav yado kodem shenas a gazlan. Delek lememar shalachar kachasam. Meaning, no, the huchsu ksav yado bebezin means we know, we're able to verify that this definitely happened before he was a gazlan. This signature was definitely put on paper before he was a gazlan. So now the fact that the eidim come and say, yes, this is ksav yado shel zeh, what they're saying is, we know that this was ksav yado shel zeh before he became a gazlan. That's very important. Because again, think about it. This gazlan signed the shtar before he became a gazlan, right? Now he can't come and say that's my signature because right now we don't believe him. So right now, if he's saying it's my signature, he might be lying. But two other Edom can come and say that's his signature. Now, it wouldn't help if they didn't know when that signature was put to paper, right? Because, yeah, that's his signature, but he's a Gazlan. No, these two other Edom are coming and saying that's his signature, and we know it was signed before he became a Gazlan. It was signed when he was still good. And that's why that's more powerful than the guy himself, because the guy himself, we don't believe right now. The two Edom, we don't have any reason not to believe right now. So that's why it's a perfectly understandable halacha, and that's why it can't be the halacha that we're looking for. So says the Gemara, Ella, possibility number four, Ikasha HaKasha. If there's a difficult halacha, it's the following. Hayodei lo edus b'shtarat shlo tipalo b'yerusha. There was edus in the shtar before a person received that the subject of that shtar as a yerusha, meaning he became a nogeh bedavar afterwards. He wasn't a nogeh bedavar at the time the shtar was written, but then he was in line to yarshin that stuff. So then he became a nogeh bedavar. Who in yachol lekayim ksav yado? So he can't be made on his own ksav yado. But lachem yachol lekayim ksav yado. But other people can be mekayim his ksav yad. So that's the difficult halacha. Says the Gemara, no, why is that difficult? My kushya dilma hachanam yigon shuk ksav yado beisin. Let's go with Rosh Bam over here. Why is that difficult? Maybe over here also we're talking about that they could be Mekayim a henpeik. Not that they could be Mekayim his actual Ksavyad. If he can't be Mekayim his own Ksavyad, they can't be Mekayim his Ksavyad either. So, rather, possibility number five, a fifth possibility of what the difficult halacha might be. Eli kasha hakasha. If there's a difficult halacha, it's the following. Hayodelo be'edus atshalo nasa chasano v'nasa chasano. Let's say you knew edus about somebody before you became a relative, and then you married the guy's daughter. You became a relative. You became his son-in-law. Who eno made al ksav yado? So if you signed on the shtar before you became the son-in-law, so now you can't be made on your own signature now that you are a son-in-law. Aval acher mi'idin, but other people can be made on your signature to be mekayim that shtar. Hula mehemin, achrini mehemni. What? So he's not believed about his own signature, but other people are believed about his signature. And that's the difficulty. So what are we going to answer? Same thing we answered the last two times. No, maybe that's not difficult at all. Maybe we're talking about that the other people are not being mekayim his signature, they're being mekayim a henpeik. It's chuk sav yadu beizdin. No, that solution doesn't work over here, because Rav Yosef Bar Menuhmi taught Amar Rav Nachman in the name of Rav Nachman, Afal Pisha Lohu Ksuk Savyada Bebezdin, that this halacha is going to be true, that the guy himself is not believed about his own signature, but other people could be Mekayim his signature, even when it's not Huksuk Savyada Bebezdin. So you see that this remains not understandable, right? If it's not a case of Huksuk Savyada Bebezdin, we're basically saying the guy himself cannot be made about his own signature, but other people can be made about his signature. And that doesn't make any sense. Says the Gemara, why doesn't that make sense? My kushya, dilma gseris melechi, di'u lo mehemen v'achrini mehemni, v'lav mishum d'mishaker. Maybe this has nothing to do with lying. Maybe the fact that we don't believe a guy who happens to be a karov has nothing to do with the fact that we suspect him of lying. In a chinami, if it was about suspicion of lying, it doesn't make any sense that we're not going to believe him about his own signature, but we're going to believe other people that this is his signature and therefore make the shtar a viable shtar. Meaning, because after all, if we suspect the aid himself of lying, so how could the fact that other people are being made about his signature help? We suspect him about lying. But if the issue is not about lying, the issue is just, it's a gzeres melech. This is, the Ribbono Shel Olam says that a karov is not to be used as a kosher aid. Not because we think he's lying, just because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam says. So then we can understand that the gzeres melech is that he's not going to be believed about his own signature, but they're going to be believed about his signature. Dilote mahachi, because if you don't say this, Moshe va'aron, if you don't say that it's just a gzeres melech, that has nothing to do with chashash meshaker. Moshe va'aron l'chosana mishum tolam mehemniyu. What? When Moshe and Aaron, they can't testify for their father-in-law. Why? Because they're not believed? No, they believe they're the most trustworthy people in the world. El gzeres melech hu shelo yu'idu lahem. No, it's a gzeres melech that they can't testify for relatives. Hachanami gzeres melech hu shelo yu'idu al ksav yado l'chasno. So here as well, it's a gzeres melech that a guy can't be made about his own signature for his father-in-law. But other people could be made about his signature for his father-in-law as long as the signature was done before he became a son-in-law. Basically, there's no chashash meshaker over here. There's no chashash that anyone is going to be lying over here. So possibility number five of what the not understandable halacha is, is also rejected. It's perfectly understandable that he's not going to be neman about his own signature, to be made about his own signature, but other people will be neman to be made for him. Now Rav Elchanan has a few very interesting ha'aros over here. First of all, Chanan asks that psul karov is only gzeres melech, but nevertheless, once you have a gzeres hakasav that he's not neman, how could he be made that it was written before he became his son-in-law? Meaning, how could he be believed? Meaning, if the gzeres melech is that a son-in-law is not believed, so then how is he able to be believed that he signed this before he became a son-in-law? Granted, you don't believe that he's lying, but you can't use him as an aid for anything. So how can you believe him to say that he signed the shtar before he became the son-in-law? That should be part of the gzeres melech. So he says you have to be mechalik between a psul that's mishum chashash meshaker and a psul that's a gzeres hakasav. He says if the haggadah is taloi in the amitas haggadasam, in knowing that they're telling the truth, like over here that the zman hashtar was ms. That if the Zman HaShtar was Emes, then the Shtar is going to be Kasher at the time that he signed it, and if the Zman is Mezuyev, then he's going to be Pasul at the time of the Chasima, so then we could be Mechalik between a Gazlan and a Karov. A Gazlan is Chashash Meshaker, you can't be Somech on the Gazlan's Zman that he put in the Shtar, because we have to assume that maybe he was Mezayev, that maybe he forged the Zman in the Shtar. But a Karov was not Pasul because of Meshaker, so we could say the Gezeres HaKasav is only when he's a Karov, even if what he's saying is true. But if we know that this man is MS, so we know that he wasn't a Karov at that time, so then you could trust anything that he said at that time, because at that time we know that he was not a Karov. Meaning, right now, him saying that I wrote this when I was not yet a Karov, that's not Edus. That's just, and we believe that. Yes, that's a fact. You wrote this when you weren't a Karov. If you wrote it when you weren't a Karov, then it's perfectly kosher. We can accept it, because you weren't a Karov at that time. Right, but as long as we're able to be mekayim the signature, he can't be mekayim the signature because that's like being meyed on the edush of shtar again. And now he's a karov, so he can't be mekayim the signature. But he can tell us the fact of when he signed it, because we don't assume that he's meshaker. If he was a gazlan, he can't even tell us that much, because if he's a gazlan, we don't trust a single word that comes out of his mouth. Rav Chanan also points out that Moshe and Aaron are made, even though their edus is pasul. So would it have any effect if Moshe and Aaron were made for their father-in-law? If the edus is pasul, so Rav Chanan says, granted, midine edus shouldn't be believed, but there's something called an anan sahadi. Anan sahadi means it's a chazaka, that this is true, that we know this to be true, not because we have edus necessarily, we just know it to be true. If Moshe and Aaron tell you something, granted, midine edus, you can't accept it. But still, there's an anan sahadi. We still know it to be true, because it was told to us by Moshe and Aaron. So what nafkamina would it make? Either way, we should have the anan sahadi, and that should be good enough to verify whatever it is that they're being made about. So says Rav Elchanan, the nafkamina would be if they're mukhash from other edim, if two other kosher edim contradict what they say. Anan sahadi doesn't work against edus. Edus against edus is a different parsha. Anan sahadi against edus is nothing. So if you have edus against the anan sahadi, so that's where Moshe and Aaron's testimony would be ineffective. Another nafkamina would be edus l'kiyum adavar. What if the edus is not about being made on what happened to verify facts? It's edus l'kiyum adavar. It's the presence of kosher edim makes the transaction valid, like edus on kiddushin or edus on a get, right? Where it's not that we don't believe that this guy really gave this girl a ring and said harei at mukdashesli. That's not the function of edim, because we don't believe it happened. Otherwise, we could have videos. It's still not good enough, right? We believe it happened. That's fine. That's still not good enough. Without edim, there is no kiddushin. The edim create the kiddushin. So for that, you would need kasher edim. For that, Moshe and Aaron would not be acceptable, and there would be an sahadi would be totally useless. So says the Gemara, elu liolam. So what's the halacha that's the non-understandable halacha? It was the first one. Go back to the drawing board. Go back to the first, not to the drawing board, go back to the first suggestion that we had of a ben a son sells nichsei aviv while his father's alive, and then the father, then the son dies, and the grandson wants to take it from the lukuchos. We already said that that's a perfectly understandable halacha. We said that it's a perfectly understandable halacha that a grandson could come and say that he's yarshining straight from the grandfather without getting it through the father. Says the Gemara, no, that pasuk hahu bebracha ksiv. That pasuk is only said in regards to bracha. Rashbam explains that pasuk is not talking about a grandson yarshining anything from a grandfather. It's a bracha for tzaddikim that they should have b'nei banim to yarshin them. It's not saying it's not supposed to teach us a halacha. So, frek the Gemara, mimat samrit bebracha ksiv. Really, that whole pasuk is only about bracha. Avliinian dina lo, but when it comes to halacha, it's not going to be so. It's not going to teach me anything. Vatani, we have a brisa nafal abayis alavi alaviv. And by the way, this is the whole reason we quoted this whole story, the whole previous amud. What did it have anything to do with our Mishnah? It's because now we're going to use the Mishnayos we were just learning to ask on this halacha that didn't make any sense, right? So Vatanya, we have a brisa, nafla b'ayis alavi alaviv, a house falls in on a guy and his father, alav al marishav, v'haisa alav k'subasisho balchov, and there's a k'subasisho balchov, yorshe av omrim, haben meis rishon v'achar kach meis ha'av, the yorshim of the father say that the son died first, and then the father died, so that the inheritance never went to the son, u'balchov omer ha'av meis rishon v'achar kach meis ha'ben. The balchov says, no, father died first, and then the son, and therefore the inheritance did go to the son. So my love, Yorshe Ha'av Bini, doesn't Yorshe Ha'av mean that it's the grandsons and Marisha Vachi, and the Marishim are the second generation? The Isal Kadaitach Lomatz Yomar Mikoach Havud Abakasina. Now, if you're going to hold that a grandson can never come and take the place and come in Yarshin directly from his grandfather anyway, because the whole pasuk that would indicate as such is only in regards to bracha, it's not in regards to any halacha. What difference does it make if the son died first and then the father? They still the other grandchildren still shouldn't be able to yarshin. Namelu balchov, the balchov should still be able to say to them, Yerusha savun kashakilna. I'm taking your father's Yerusha. Meaning the grandchildren can't respond, we're taking the Zaydi's Yerusha. It's the father, it's the middle generation's Yerusha. So the balchov should still win. Says the Gemara, lo, you misunderstood the case. When we say Yorshe Av, we're not talking about the grandchildren. Lo, Yorshe Av Achiv means the Av's brothers. Marishav Achidavua. And the Marishav that we're referring to are the Av's uncles, are the grandfather's brothers. Bominem Rav Sheshes, Ben Mahu, so now, new issue. Right? Big fat period, that puts an end to that sugya. Bominem Rav Sheshes. Right? They asked from Rav Sheshes the following shayla. Ben Mahu Sheirish Hasima Bekever Lahanchil La'achin Mina Av. Can a son yarshin his mother, Bekever, in order to be manchil to his paternal brothers? Meaning if a son died before his mother, can the Yerusha come from his mother to him in the Kever so that his paternal brothers can receive that Yerusha? Amrulhu Rav Sheshes, meaning his brothers who do not share the same mother. Amrulhu Rav Sheshes, Tanisua, we already learned this. Ha'av Shenashva Meis Bina B'Medina, a father was captured and his son dies B'Medina in a different location. Uben Shenashva Meis Avi B'Medina, or vice versa. Yorshe Avi Yorshe Ben Yachloku. The halacha is the Yorshim of the father and the Yorshim of the son split it because we don't know who died first. So Hechidami, what's the case exactly? If it's really a father and a son, aren't they the same people, the Yorshe'av and the Yorshe'aben? Don't they have the same Yorshim, right? So no, we have to say that the case is talking about the following. Av Shenashma Meis Ben Bito B'Medina. A guy is captured, and his daughter's son dies B'Medina. Uben Shenashva, or a guy is captured, Umeis Avi Imo B'Medina. And his mother's father dies B'Medina. We don't know who died first. Yorshe Avi Yorshe Ben Yachloku. So in that case, the grandfather's Yorshim and the grandson's Yorshim split it. V'misa nihinami de ben meis bereisha lirte lavua di ime bekivrei. Wait a second, but if it's true that you can yarshin in the kever, so granted the ben may have died first, still he should yarshin the avua di ime. He should yarshin his maternal grandfather bekivrei while he's dead. V'litinu lachu amenu avua, and he should be able to transfer that yerusha to his paternal brothers. So elav shramina ena ben yorish simo bekever lahan chulachin ma'av. So you see from there that a ben cannot be yorish's mother bekever once he's dead already, in the sense that he can pass it on to his paternal brothers. He is not capable of doing that if he predeceases his mother. Amli Ravacha Bar Minyumi La Abayis. Ravacha Bar Minyumi Sats Abayi Afna Nami Tanina. Yeah, we learned the same thing. Nafla Abayis Alav Alima Oelev Elamodim Sheikh Loku. The house falls in on him and on his mother. Everyone agrees that you can split it. Vimisa Nihinamid Ben Meis Bereisha Lir Tili Mebe Kivrev Lir Tuinu Lachime Avua. But if it's true that his son can yarshin his mother even once he's dead, so then it doesn't matter who died first when he and his mother were in the same house. Even if he died first, he should still yarshin his mother in the sense that the money should go to him bekever, and then he could pass it on to his paternal brothers. So we see that the Yerusha does not work that way. The time am I, why doesn't it work that way? Why can't it go to a ben while he's bekever from the mother? Amrabai nemra siba beben, v'nemra siba bebal, because the term siba is used by a ben, and the term siba is used by a husband. Masiba amura bebal ein abal yorish zishto bekever, just like by a husband, we know the halacha is a husband cannot yarshin his wife bekever. Af siba amura beben ein aben yorish zishto bekever lahan chelachin min av. So too by a son can't yarshin his mother bekever when the son is bekever in order to be manchil to his paternal brothers. Fine. The it happens to be machlokas in Maseches Ksubas. There's a machlokas Ksubas where the Yerusha's Baal is Drabbanan or Daraisa, and it's machlokas Rishonim had a Paskin. The Rambam Paskin's Yerusha's Baal is Drabbanan. The Ravid says Daraisa. The Ravid proves that it's Daraisa from our Gemara that we're learning Yerusha's Ben Gzereshava from Yerusha's Baal. Siba Siba. So if we're learning from Gzeir Shava, it must be that the Yerusha's Baal itself is a Dindar Raisa. It's a Shtark Araya against the Rambam. Okay, now the rest of the Gemara we already had on Daf Lamed. It's a direct repeat from Cheskas Habatim. Tosus points out, yes, I understand what this Gemara is doing here. It is related thematically, but Tosus says, he says it's still weird that the Gemara will bring the same exact 15 lines of Gemara twice in the same exact Masechta. But nevertheless, it feels like it's a different Masechta because it was 4 months ago. So says the Gemara, Udam Leila Chavre, a guy says to his friend, Nixay de Bar Sisan Azvinin Lach, I'm selling you Nixay de Bar Sisan. Have a Chada Aradav Mikri de Bar Sisan, and he had one land that was called Bar Sisan. But we don't know if it ever actually belonged to Bar Sisan, it was just called Bar Sisan. Amle Halav de Bar Sisan, he Vikri de Mikri de Bar Sisan. So the seller says, no, you don't get that land, it never belonged to Bar Sisan, it's just called Bar Sisan. Asal Kamed Rav Nachman Ukma Biyad de Lokech. So they went to Rav Nachman says, Lokech gets to keep it. Amalei Ravel Rav Nachman Dina Hachi Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Araya. He says, what are you talking about? Why should Lokech get to keep it? What about Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Araya? The Mocher was the last one to be Muchsuk. Frankly, wherever Rami Derava Rav Nachman, we could ask a stira in the same two people. Dahud Amalei Lechavri My Bayis Bay Besa, because the guy said to his friend, what are you doing in my house? Amalei Minoksu Vintava Chalte Shnei Chazak. He says, what do you mean? I bought it from you, and I've been living here for 3 years. Amalei Anabish Kuni Gavaya. He says, what do you mean? You've been living here for 3 years. I was also living here in the inner chamber of the house. Usl Kamed Rav Nachman, they went to Rav Nachman Amalei Zil Brora Chilaska, and Rav Nachman says, as long as you're able to prove you the Muchzak was able to prove that you were there for 3 years, it's going to be yours. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman Dinachi Amotzi Mechaver Alav Araya, and Rava says, no, Amotzi Mechaver Alav Araya. Don't you need to prove that it's yours in order to be able to say that it's yours? So you see, Rava over here is the one who says Amotzi Mechaver Alav Araya, and Rav Nachman is the one who says otherwise. So Kasha Drava Drava Drav Nachman Drav Nachman answers. It's not a stira in Rava. Hacham mocher kai b'nichsei, hasam lokeach kai b'nichsei. Who's in the nechassim right now? It depends who the mocher. In one case, the mocher is, in the other case, the lokeach is. That's why we pask in different ways. Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman lokasha, and it's not a stira of Nachman either. Hacha kiven damalei de bebar sisan, mikre de bebar sisan, alei de day rami lugli de lav bebar sisan. If he told him, I'm selling you the lands of bebar sisan, and this land is called the bebar sisan, well then it's up to him to prove that it's not Beibar Sisan, because we have every right to assume it is Beibar Sisan. Over here, even if the guy had a shtar that said it belonged to him, we would still need to tell him, be mekayim the shtar, and then we'll let you keep the nechassim. Okay, Hadron Lach Mishameis, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start the last parak of Maseches Bava Basra.